afternoon, high 92 to 94. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm Michael Stack.
Weather has been brought to you by Total Air Solutions, the area's best air conditioning company. Call 877-TOTAL-AIR or go to TotalAirFL.com.
Venice Regional Medical Center, the best health care under the sun. Visit VeniceRegional.com.
WCCF News Radio 1580.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues. A live radio talk show dedicated to your health and presented by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. Our phone lines are open for calls and questions along the way. 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. If you would like to join the conversation at any point, we always welcome your calls. And now here's your host of the show, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. And I hope everyone is doing well. And I'm so grateful that you're joining us today. And again, I want to remind everybody that if you want to email us a question, you can do that at AskDrTriana@TrianaPreventionCenter.com. And we will answer your question at the next show. So if you're too shy to call in, which it seems like last week we had quite a few callers. That was really nice.
Yes.
If you're too shy to call in, the number is 206-1580. Then don't forget, you can email. And if you want to hear any of our older programs that we've already archived, you can go to the TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Our website, which we're in the process of actually adding more information and bringing out new things. And in fact, in September, we sent out a newsletter. We're going to be giving out the flu shots.
Uh-huh.
So I just want everyone to know there's different ways to communicate with us. And there's also our office telephone, which is 625-1990.
And just a quick note for those who might... maybe you've made us our homepage on this radio station. If you have, we're grateful for that. You'll find on our homepage a link that will ask Dr. Triana whatever your question is. Click there and ask away.
Right. So I'm very excited today to talk to you about something that's dear to my heart, which is women and heart disease. And I had announced that I was going to speak about hepatitis C because we've been speaking about the digestive system. However, I think when something happens in the news, and as we know, Rosie O'Donnell, some people know who she is. She's a celebrity. She had a heart attack. So, and she's only about 50 years old.
Something in that neighborhood.
So, and I read, and unfortunately, it sounds to me by the story that I read, that she did not pay attention to her symptoms.
That's the story I read, too. There's a big lag time before she seeks medical help, is what you're saying.
Right. And unfortunately, that's very common in women. In fact, the American Heart Association did a survey of women. Only 53%, if they had the symptoms of a heart attack, which we are going to speak about today, would call 911.
That little?
That little.
Wow.
Only 53%. And we all know that when it comes to a heart attack and to a stroke or a TIA, which is a transient ischemic attack, which means you're not getting blood to your brain, that causes the stroke. And also the heart muscle, when it doesn't get blood, that's a heart attack. Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. So guess what? I want everyone to know this. Men are not the same as women.
It's not a popular notion in some circles nowadays. We're all supposed to be exactly the same. I like the diversity, quite frankly.
And women are not the same as men. And we exhibit differently different types of medical problems. Now, a lot of women feel the focus is on breast cancer, which I understand. Everyone is tuned in to that. But one in 33 women are going to die of breast cancer. One in three is going to have cardiovascular disease.
Wow.
So one in three, you put three women in a room, one of them is going to have that heart attack or stroke.
And how many will seek help out of that? Not 50% approximately, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we need to know that it is the leading cause of death, cardiovascular disease in men and women. And in women, it is after the menopause. Before the menopause, it's less, but there's still 9,000 women less than the age of 45 who've died of heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also know as women get older after the menopause, their chances of getting cardiovascular disease is equal to men. And in fact, as women get older, their incidence is higher than men of getting a heart attack. So we need to, and when I say cardiovascular disease, I'm really talking about heart attack, stroke. These are very important things.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that it's the leading cause of death. That's more than cancer, respiratory disease, Alzheimer's, and accidents combined. Last year, over 500,000 women died of heart attack.
Goodness.
Now, as you know, my focus is prevention. I want everyone to become aware. What is it they can do to decrease their risk for having these events? So let's talk a little bit about the heart. Just what everybody, make a fist. If you make a fist right now, your heart is slightly larger than that. It weighs less than a pound. It beats 100,000 times a day.
Wow. Staggering.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And most of the time, in women, it'll last for at least 81 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in men, it'll last about 76 years.
Mm-hmm.
So women do live longer, but we do know that it pumps 2,000 gallons of blood a day.
Wow.
That's nearly 5 quarts of blood each minute. That there are 60,000 miles of arteries, capillary, and veins in the vascular system. Isn't that amazing?
60,000 miles.
Yes. Of arteries, capillaries, and veins in your body.
It's amazing.
That's so amazing. And it's so amazing that if you clench your fist, that organ of your body is so important, the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to focus on what we can do to be heart healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand, again, when we talked about statistics, how men and women are different, we know that men, after 1 year, if they have a heart attack, 25% of men will die.
Mm-hmm.
In women, it'll be 38%.
And you see, the perplexing thing about this conversation today is most lay people like myself, we've always thought of and we've always heard and everybody always talks about heart attack being something that men deal with more than women, but it's actually in some cases reversed.
Yes.
The heart attack that Rosie O'Donnell had that's prompted this conversation today, I'm sure you read this just like
yes.
I did. They call it the Widowmaker, implying it's a man's style of heart attack, but it can affect anybody.
It can affect. And in fact, we know that a woman who has a heart attack is more likely 38% within 6 years to have another heart attack.
Oh, goodness.
And men, that's 18%. So why is this happening that if women get these symptoms, why is it? There's a big disconnect. There's a lack of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Women are not connecting the risk factors, which we have talked about risk.
Mm-hmm.
Risk, what is the risk that you're likely to develop an illness or develop that problem? And one of those risks is that women and men are different in how we exhibit the symptoms. As you see in the movies, the men, they have the crushing pain.
The elephant sits on my chest feeling.
They put their arms to their chest. They
mm-hmm.
break out in a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
They have nausea. They get short of breath. But women, usually the symptoms are they get shorter breath when they do something. They get a little shorter breath. They get fatigued. They can have a nagging discomfort in the chest that maybe they don't pay attention. They may not feel exactly the way they should. They can have, men can get the jaw pain and radiating to the back, pain to the back. So you have to put this into perspective. If these are some of the symptoms that you get, time is of the essence.
I think in Rosie's case, for the backstory, in case somebody missed it, is she supposedly helped a heavy woman out of her car. She was walking down the street. She heard somebody cry for help. She went and there was a woman who was especially heavy who was trying to get out of a car and was stuck. She helped pull the woman out. And when she did, from that point on, she felt terrible.
Well, again, the number one cause also of heart attack is plaque rupture. You know, you need to have just a narrowing. It sounds in her case, she did have a lot of arteriosclerosis and she had narrowing of the LAD, the left anterior descending artery.
And that's maybe what happened and brought it on so suddenly. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I'm interested in your show. I'm a fairly new listener. I'm just curious, to get a, for lack of a better word, an examination by the doctor, what does that entail? How does she do this? Is it through blood work, or x-rays, combination of all of them, or what?
Examination, what happens is when a patient comes on their first visit, what we recommend, we do a detailed history, and we base everything on your risk factors and your past history and your age. It's personalized medicine. So the history is very important, finding out what medications the person's on, their family history, their social history. Are you a smoker? Do you drink? And then we do a physical exam. Depending on the problems at hand, tests are ordered, and also to make a better assessment of your risk. But everything is personalized to you. I hope that answers your questions.
The follow-up is any of this covered by insurance or not?
Of course.
Okay.
If you have Medicare, yes. This is covered by insurance. And I am a family physician and a lipidologist. And I do also order advanced lipid testing. But I take care of anyone from the age of 16 and actually, I just had a patient that just was over 100 years old.
Oh.
So it's very important to have a family physician, and everyone should have one. And I especially, because of my advanced training and interests and studying, I am a lipidologist, which specializes in managing your cholesterol, your triglycerides, and your risk factors for heart disease.
What is the number of your office, doctor?
941-625-1990. And I appreciate your call, and I hope that you listen to our previous shows and continue to listen.
Thank you. I will.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
Bye-bye.
I think he'll find if he does indeed make a phone call to your office, he'll find that the rest of the staff is as pleasant to deal with as is Dr. Triana. They're very nice people.
Oh, yes. We're all very dedicated. I feel very blessed that I was able to fulfill my dream as a child. I was a little kid. I wanted to be a doctor. One of my patients said she remembered that because I went to Peace River Elementary School, and I was sitting outside waiting for the bus, and she says, what would you like to be when you grow up? And I said I wanted to be a doctor. So I love taking care of my patients. I love science. I love people, too. So I have to, you know.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you were the first female doctor in Charlotte County.
I'm the first woman to grow up here and come back and practice medicine.
Right, homegrown doctor, we'll
call it. Homegrown,
yeah.
And I am very proud of that.
Yes.
And very proud to be, I'm a solo practitioner with a wonderful staff. So, And we're all dedicated, as I said. Yeah, we have a great team. I think your own, the leader has to be the one who's a trailblazer, but everybody has to be on board as a team.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you see in your office very, very frequently.
So going back to the stroke and TIA, what the main symptoms are, if you have a sudden numbness in your face, weakness in your arms or legs, confusion, trouble speaking, where you get your words become slurred, or trouble understanding what somebody else is saying. These are signs and symptoms of a stroke or a transient ischemic attack, TIA.
Mm-hmm.
Another symptom is a severe headache or trouble walking, dizziness, or a sudden loss of balance. So we need to focus on listening to our bodies to see what we need to do. And I think when a celebrity has a medical problem, it runs through the whole news gamut and it makes people aware. And I want everyone to be aware. And in men and women, again, I need to stress, this is the leading cause of death. And most people who have a stroke will never go back to work again.
My goodness.
And you know, that to me, I love to work. I tell my patients, as long as my brain works, I never want to retire. So if you have a stroke and you cannot go to back to work, or if you're not able to physically take care of yourself, and that's something maybe we could, we have another caller I see.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back to it. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to, I'm not sure if you have the right information, but I'd like to ask about the TPA, I believe it's TPI or TPA.
TPA.
Yeah, it's a substance that you need to get to save your life, basically. Could you review the procedure, the protocol, how long you have from the time of the onset of symptoms and the time you need to get the a dosage injected or administered, and what are the effects per minute of not getting that done? I'm a super high blood pressure stroke candidate.
Okay.
So
well,
I'll hang up and look.
Can I tell you, sir?
Say
yes.
Number one, if you have high blood pressure, that's the number one risk for stroke.
Oh, yeah.
You need to control your blood pressure, and if I'm going to tell you the main risk factors for heart attack and stroke, and you're talking about TPA, which is called the clot buster. It helps dissolve the clot that forms, and the common is the sooner the better, but usually within 3 hours. So that is, time is of the essence when you get these symptoms. But I am trying to focus on keeping you out of the hospital. So what are the most important risk factors for heart attack and stroke? Is number one, cigarette smoking. Number two is high blood pressure. And I hope that answers your question.
Well, I found out because I had to take a back injury, and I was taking large doses of ibuprofen. I found out that it is actually a negative cause of high blood pressure, and I didn't realize that. And the doctors themselves had been administering that, and I didn't realize that that was causing high blood pressure along with other factors. But thank you. That's probably what's going to get me eventually. So there's some things you probably can't prevent. I mean, we're all going to die. So
yes,
just depends on how. But I appreciate your information. I wasn't really clear. You know, I'm getting up. You know, I'm in my 50s now. So I probably got another 20 years. But
let's hope more than that. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
But thank you for the information.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. But remember, you need to know. Yes, we are all going to die. But we want more good years. This is what the Triana Prevention Center is focusing on. This is what I'm focusing on. We're trying to have more good years to enjoy life. And there's things that we can do. We've discussed the basis is your lifestyle, diet, exercise, but also know your blood pressure. Everyone is focusing on, okay, I know we're going to all pass away, but most people need to know their numbers. What is your total cholesterol? What is your good cholesterol, the HDL? What is your blood pressure? If you're a smoker, quit. Remember we talked about your waist size. Mm-hmm. Measure your waist. If your waist is greater than 35 inches in women and 40 inches in men, get that waist down. If you have a family history, if your father or mother died and you're a man before the age of 55 and they had a heart attack or stroke, that's a big red flag. Mm-hmm. If you're a woman less than 65, you can help prevent and have more good years. The metabolic syndrome, if you have metabolic syndrome, you need to control that. If you have an autoimmune disease, you're at greater risk. Autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Sjögren syndrome. And now we know if you're young and you were pregnant and had pregnancy-induced hypertension, preeclampsia, or gestational diabetes, you also, as a woman, have a more of a chance of having cardiovascular disease. So the whole thing is that we can prevent this disease, we can control it, and we can regress it. But I don't want people to say to me, I ask them, when people ask me, you know, I get stopped at Publix and restaurants. Oh, I heard your show. My cholesterol, my doctor said my cholesterol was okay, and my blood pressure is a little high. So the first thing I ask, what's your number? What's your number? Doesn't everybody, when you go somewhere, you look, when you go to the grocery store, how much does it cost? That's a number.
Mm-hmm.
How much gas is left in your car? That's a number. How much does a gallon of gas cost? Well, that's a number. So why can't we all remember our numbers? Write it down. Keep a little tablet. Ask your doctor. I have a lot of patients. I copy out their lab tests. I give it to them if they want it. Look at your numbers. Don't just say it's okay. Because if you focus on those numbers like we focus on other numbers, you're going to change your life. You're going to change your life. You're going to improve your risk, you're going to know, and you're going to bring it up, and you're going to be aware. You know, I tell people, don't put your head in the sand. We can all improve upon our risk factors. And again, to have more good years, life is great.
You know, I can't help but think of the analogy as you've been talking about knowing your numbers and really making that point quite clear. Being the car guy that I am, there's a difference between having the light on the dashboard that tells you when there's something wrong and having a gauge where you can measure things. There's a reason they call those little lights idiot lights, because they don't tell you anything until it's too late.
But that's a good analogy.
A gauge will show you. And every day, if that oil pressure is in such and such a range and the next day it's higher, you know, you got to go and ask somebody a question.
Right. So why aren't we need to then pay attention to our numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know, and you need to seek medical attention. Remember, I tell patients, I don't want to just see you when you're sick. I want to see you for your maintenance, to keep you going,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like you keep your car going.
Yes.
You check the oil. You check the pressure. You want to make sure, because you don't want to break down on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you want to be able to enjoy the wonderful things of life. There's so many wonderful things that we do. I've told you, I have Datsuns. I have so many hobbies. I love to read. I grow orchids. I have bonsais. You have a dog. I mean, we have family. We have friends. There is so much to do. And I love to work. So I love what I do. So if I could just help people to focus on those numbers,
mm-hmm.
I think that, and that's why I'm trying to expound on if something comes out in the news, because people are hearing it over and over again. Oh, this is happening, that's happening. And in the next show, we are going to focus on the hepatitis C, because that's very important, the function of the liver.
I think when a celebrity has an incident like Rosie O'Donnell did recently, too, it gives you the opportunity to realize that we all are vulnerable. I think sometimes there's a separation between celebrity and ordinary people. That can't happen. It does happen to them, and it did happen to her. And she did one of the classic mistakes you discussed earlier in the show. She waited. I believe she waited a good 2 days or so before she sought help.
Right. She didn't pay attention to her symptoms. My own wonderful, beautiful mother had, after Hurricane Charlie, she does estate sales, so she was working, and she got a little short of breath.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I am so, and I told her, I go, Mother, you better get it checked out. And she did get it checked out. And she ended up that she had, and I asked her permission that I could talk about her.
I hope so.
Yes. She had aortic stenosis.
Uh-huh.
And she needed to have bypass surgery.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Oops.
From mom, we go to our next caller. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I called because I have a funny question.
Okay.
What?
A week ago Tuesday, I had an epidural in my back.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I have felt absolutely terrible. I did have a horrible headache. My neck was absolutely killing me.
Oh.
It still hasn't cleared up. I still feel like I have an empty ball in the back of my neck, and I have a hairy spider crawling on it.
Oh, my.
Oh, you need to, yeah. You need to call your doctor.
Have you talked to your doctor since the procedure?
I have called him, and his answer has been lay flat, drink plenty of water.
Well, if it's still persisting, I think you need to call your physician again, the person who did the procedure. It's very important. And if you can't get a hold of your doctor, you need to seek medical attention. It could be part of the procedure, or it could be something that as a result of that procedure, and it should have gone away by now, and I would talk to the person who did the procedure.
Stay on the doctor, because that does sound important.
Yeah, I have, but of course the doctor isn't available right now. But my instructions as of this morning were, if it's still bothersome, go to the ER.
Yeah. Oh, well, then if they want you to go to the ER, then you should do that, sweetheart.
Well, they just but said if it bothers me.
I'm not here to give direct medical advice. I'm not your physician. I don't know your case. But I feel the person that did the procedure, you need to contact them as soon as possible. I appreciate your call.
Or visit the ER, of course, if they are saying to do that.
You need to follow their advice.
I know it's inconvenient. Nobody wants to do it, but this is important.
Yes. And you know, we're here to give guidance to our audience. But if you had a procedure or you were prescribed something, you need to go back to that person to get their advice and follow their advice. They're responsible and you're under their care. Thank you very much.
Up against the end of time again. I just want to remind everybody, TrianaPreventionCenter.com is a fully interactive website with all of the previous shows you can go and listen to. And of course, you can ask Dr. Triana questions via email.
Yes, ask Dr. Triana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. And thank you so much, all the callers. Next week, we're going to be talking about hepatitis C, the liver. And I want everyone to stay healthy and know your numbers.